Wait a minute. Don't you do it, Pitbull Cruz. Damn it, don't you do it. Listen to me. Listen to me, Pitbull Cruz. Don't chase Gervonta Tank Davis. Don't do it. You don't need to do it. Listen to me. Sean Gibbons, Manny Pacquiao Promotions. Y'all already know that Pitbull Cruz is signed to Manny Pacquiao Promotions. They said that they want to see Gervonta Tank Davis versus Pitbull Cruz, the rematch. Nah, you don't need that fight. You don't need that fight. All money ain't good money. All money ain't good money. You don't need it. Pitbull don't need it right now. Because Pitbull Cruz has the opportunity to become an A-side without Gervonta Tank Davis. Pitbull Cruz has one of the biggest fights in the sport of boxing that awaits. And that's versus Subriel Matias, the Puerto Rican, the Boricua Matatán, the IBF Junior Welterweight Champion of the World. The killer! Yo, we already know that that matchup is like a match made in heaven. That is an electrifying matchup. Two offensive juggernauts. Entertaining fighters. Respected fighters. And of course, the traditional rivalry of Puerto Rico versus Mexico. All the ingredients to make it a lucrative fight, exciting fight, is already in place. It's already in the bowl. It's already in the bowl, baby. And the reason why I also say that Pitbull Cruz doesn't need Gervonta Tank Davis, because let's not forget that Pitbull Cruz got what fighters like Gervonta Tank Davis wants. Oh, what you talking about, Punch? Yeah. Gervonta Tank Davis is one of those African-American fighters that was wearing the sombreros to pander to the Mexican fan base when he fought Leo Santa Cruz in his first pay-per-view event. He ain't the only one. We seen it for Floyd. We seen it with Floyd Mayweather. We seen it with Shakur Stevenson versus Joel Gonzalez. We seen it with Earl the True Spence when he faced Mikey Garcia wearing the beautiful colors of the green, red, and the white. We seen it with Montana Love. We see people pandering to the Mexican fan base because you know that it's one of the most lucrative fan base of all of boxing. And especially in this side of the pond, it's probably the most lucrative one. Yet also, the Puerto Rican fan base is just as lucrative. Even though that the Puerto Rican fan base haven't roared like it used to with the Codos and the Trinidad and stuff like that. Because, of course, the Puerto Rican fan base has been waiting for a guy like Subriel Matias, right? And shout out to Amanda Serrano because she'd been holding the Puerto Rican fan base down, right? The island of Puerto Rico. But when it comes to the male side, It felt like an emptiness. It felt like, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, where is that? Where is that Puerto Rican fan base, that the lucrative fan base? But they're here. They have arrived. They're here again. The two most lucrative fan base in the sport of boxing is the Mexican fan base and the Puerto Rican fan base. Let me go further in saying this. Pitbull Cruz and Subriel Matias have the ingredients and have the opportunity to actually become a bigger box office attraction than Devin Haney and Teofimo Lopez. Yeah, I said it. You know why? Not because they're less of a fighter. Of course, you know that Devin Haney and Teofimo Lopez have accomplished more than Pitbull Cruz and Subriel Matias. It's because I don't think that their support will be as strong and as loyal as the Mexican fan base and the Puerto Rican fan base. And ladies and gentlemen, this is show business. This is entertainment. This is the business of boxing. Yes, nationality does sells. So, Pitbull Cruz and Subriel Matias both have an opportunity to give us one of the most exciting rivalries in the sport of boxing potential. Because I do believe that with their style, maybe one of them will get stopped. Maybe with Subriel Matias stop Pitbull Cruz, maybe Pitbull Cruz stops Subriel Matias, but then a rematch. And then the rematch is more lucrative than the first fight. I could see this, baby. Look, I wanted to see Oscar De La Hoya versus Tito Trinidad, the rematch. It should have happened. But these guys can make life-changing money. life-changing money, generational wealth, without chasing a Javonta Tang Davis. In all reality, especially in the 140-pound division, the most stacked division in the sport of boxing, if these guys all fight each other, they don't need this this illusion of, okay, they need to get Javonta Tang Davis to get the bag. No. No. The beauty of carving your own legacy is right there. Teofimo Lopez have carved his own legacy when he faced Vasiliy Lomachenko and stuff like that in 135, beat the man to become the man, then beat the man to become the man in 140 by beating Josh Taylor. We see what Devin Haney has done. He became the undisputed in 135, came up to 140-pound division and beat Regis Progress, and now fighting another cash cow of this young generation, Ryan Garcia. And hopefully Devin Haney gets it. Both of these guys get paid. We don't know who's going to be winning in that fight. I think more people got Devin Haney beating Ryan Garcia. But yeah, they carving their own legacy. They don't need this potential Javonta Tang Davis. The only reason why I'm bringing Javonta Tang Davis is because I do believe that, and I do believe, but we heard with Sean Gibbons, Manny Pacquiao Promotion, that work with PBC, and we already know that Javonta Tang Davis on the PBC side, Pitbull Cruz on the PBC side. So it makes sense that a possible rematch between Pitbull Cruz and Javonta Tang Davis could take place. I'm not really against that fight. What I'm saying is that Pitbull Cruz is now in position, not like he was before the Rolly fight. See, before the Rolly fight, he's not a champion. He got the only fight that probably makes sense for Pitbull Cruz at the time. I remember he just moved up to 140. The only fight that makes sense for Pitbull Cruz is the Javonta Tang Davis rematch. But now, things has opened up for Pitbull Cruz. Potential fight with Subriel, potential fight with Tio, potential fight with Devin, potential fight with Ryan. He don't even got a look. He don't even got a look Javonta Tang Davis way. But guess what he's bringing to the table that Devin ain't bringing, Teofimo Lopez ain't bringing, Ryan Garcia. I don't even think that Ryan Garcia is bringing another niche fan base. He's not bringing the Mexican fan base. He's bringing another niche fan base, to be honest, right? His own respective fan base that he built. And shout out to Ryan Garcia for building that type of fan base, right? Or Shakur. Pitbull Cruz got the Mexican fans. And we saw the last fight how he brang him out, right? He could very well be. I'm not saying right now he is, but he could very well be the A-side of all of them. Subriel Matias, I wish that fight happens next, but we know it's not going to be happening next because Subriel Matias is going to be fighting Liam Paru. But let's say he knocks out Liam Paru, moves on, and then fights Richardson Hitchens in New York City, right? If Richardson Hitchens, you know, is successful in his next outing. They fight in the Barclays Center, Madison Square Garden in New York City. And then he knocks out Richardson Hitchens. Yo, that's going to be a good fight. Big fight. Matter of fact, we don't even got to wait that long. I think that this could be a mega fight in Mexican Independence Day of this year. Mexican Independence Week. We could have Subriel Matias versus Pitbull Cruz. And the rematch could happen on Puerto Rican Day Parade 2025 in June. These guys can make life-changing money. And I believe that everybody will pay the pay-per-view for that fight. See, sometimes not one fighter is this cash cow, right? Or is this lucrative? Some people, you know, in the boxing community, there's always people that be like, he's not a pay-per-view star. He's not a pay-per-view attraction. But a fight could be a pay-per-view attraction. The fight is what makes a pay-per-view. Pitbull Cruz may not go, he's not a pay-per-view, he's not a pay-per-view star alone, nor is Subriel Matias, but together is pay-per-view. Teofimo Lopez versus Devin Haney, together, they're pay-per-view. Just like Ryan Garcia versus Javonta Tang Davis in reality, together. I know that Javonta Tang Davis been doing pay-per-view before Ryan Garcia, but we're talking about the traditional or the quintessential successful pay-per-view events is the fight that makes it. But Crawford wasn't a successful pay-per-view attraction. But then when he came together with Earl the True Spence, then it was a successful pay-per-view. Even though that I feel like in my opinion, because of the magnitude of that fight and everybody was asking for that fight, in my opinion, I think 600K was a little bit of a flop, in my opinion, because if Gervonta Tane Davis and Ryan Garcia did better than the, did twice as much as the fight of the number one fight in the sport of boxing, or the Truth Spins versus Bud Crawford, I think that it tells volumes that in where boxing is at today. You feel me? But I think that boxing is coming together. 2023 was an epic year, and 2024 could be more of an epic year. And I think right now it has all the pieces, all the ingredients to make this year one of the most historical years in the sport of boxing, probably outdo 2023. And shout out to the boxing entities. Shout out to all the promotional company that made it happen. Shout out to Golden Boy Promotions for 2024 and 2023 being the most lucrative fight in the sport of boxing, and PBC. Shout out to PBC, Showtime, TGB, Tom Brown. They've done a wonderful job. You know what's funny? That Al Haymon and Oscar De La Hoya actually started together, right? They started together. Well, not started together. Al Haymon started with Oscar De La Hoya, and then they grew apart. But if you could see, Golden Boy Promotion and Al Haymon, they just make lucrative fights. Their partnership actually makes more sense. Look at last year. The most lucrative fight was Ryan Garcia versus Gervonta Tane Davis. And this year is Canelo Alvarez versus Jaime Munguia. I think these guys got to stop being at odds and stop having this little grudge, you know, in the public. I'm not going to say Al Haymon because Al Haymon doesn't show his face. But, of course, you know, it's highly documented that these guys really don't like each other, right? And Leonard Ellerbe, I think he speaks for Al Haymon in like a mouthpiece, and he expresses displeasure of Oscar De La Hoya. But I think that these guys just make magic when they actually do business with each other. As a matter of fact, when all the promoters just do business with each other, it creates magic. But when it comes to Subir Matias and Pitbull Cruz, they could create their own magic. They could create their own bag. They could create their own legacy. They could create their own rivalry. I'm talking about legacy. Legacy. This fight is legacy right here, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, this fight could be legendary because of the style, because of the momentum, because of the illusion. Remember, I always say that if you follow the channel, Punch Drunk Boxing on YouTube, I always been talking about this for years, that what boxing has lost is capturing the imaginations and the emotions of the boxing fans, right? Pitbull Cruz just did that, and Subir Matias have that aura as well. It's good to see two fighters with an aura go at one another. You feel me? We haven't seen two fighters with an aura. Like, we may see one fighter with an aura, and we see another fighter with some good skills, but look like he could be beatable, right? It's almost like Sonny Liston have an aura, but Muhammad Ali had the skills, but people didn't think that he could be or was it going to be a competitive fight with Sonny Liston, right? He proved everybody wrong. Like, can you imagine two Mike Tysons going at one another? The aura of Mike Tyson, the baddest man of the planet, where people just can't have it in their brain that this man can never lose, right? This guy just have this aura that he's going to knock somebody out. He's gonna destroy somebody's face. And then there's another. Evander Holyfield didn't have that aura, right? I believe, and I'm just giving you an example, and I'm just mentioning names. I'm not trying to compare Mike Tyson to Subir Matias or Pitbull Cruz. I'm just trying to give you that we never had two fighters that have an aura. An aura. You feel me? Like a Subir Matias. People, because Subir Matias did kill a guy in the ring, they have this aura about Subir Matias that there's any given fight, He could kill somebody in the ring. And of course, that could happen in any other fight, but he's the one that has that aura. And then Pitbull Cruz has one of the most effective pressures in the sport of boxing. You put that together, and like I said throughout this episode, it creates magic. Now, of course, Gervonta Tane Davis also have that type of aura. But that aura wasn't evident when he faced Pitbull Cruz. Let's not forget that in the post-fight interview, after the fight with Pitbull Cruz, Jim Gray asked Gervonta Tan Davis, will you rematch Pitbull Cruz? And Gervonta Tan Davis says, hell no. Hell no. And that's when I actually, you know, started thinking about, damn, Gervonta Tan Davis, he's good. But he don't like things when it's hard. Pause. He doesn't like it when the time gets tough and it gets difficult. It just seems. I'm just interpreting, you know, from that post fight interview. That was the beginning when I was thinking like, yo, Gervonta Tan Davis, what you mean that you won't give this a rematch? Why? Because it was a hard fight. You don't like a hard fight. And then they followed it up with. Rehydration clause stipulations, rehydration clause with Mario Barrios, rehydration clause catch weight with Ryan Garcia. And it seems like they just in it to win the fight before the fight. I don't think that Gervonta Tan Davis is afraid of anybody. I don't believe that any fighter is afraid of any fighter, right? I believe all these guys are not scared of a fair fight. I do think that Gervonta Tan Davis' team is still scared to take the risk. I think they're more scared than any other team in the sport of boxing in terms of taking risk, especially with a talent like Gervonta Tan Davis. They should have every confidence in the world that they could go into a fight with a Devin Haney, with a Shakur Stevenson, with a Teofimo Lopez, with a Sabrina Matias, Pitbull Cruz, and things of that nature, right? But they're so timid, like they're scared for him. They're guarding him. And he barely does any interviews. And if you're doing any interviews, you already know that somebody on the side is babysitting him. They so scared for him. I don't understand it. But good. If you don't want to be in the mix of legacy, now he's in the mix of being one of the most exciting fighters in the sport of boxing. He's in the mix of having one of the best skill sets in the sport of boxing. I'm not going to take that away from Gervonta Tan Davis. As a matter of fact, I'm a fan of his skill set. I'm always going to see a Gervonta Tan Davis fight. I'm just not going to assess him with the other fighters that's daring to be great, that really truly wants to be in the pound-for-pound list, that truly wants to accomplish greatness and really approach this their career with legacy reigning supreme. He doesn't approach his career like that. His team doesn't approach his career like that. So I don't even think by me saying that he's not a pound for pound, or he's not a legendary fighter or a legacy fighter or a future Hall of Famer. I don't think they should care if a person like me make that type of assessment, because they all about what makes sense for them. What, putting butts in the seats. They're there for the money. They're here for the purse. Not here to be great. If Gervonta Tan Davis wanted to be great, he would have fought Vasiliy Lomachenko way before Teofimo Lopez would have fought him. He would have gone after already a Teo. He would have gone after a Devin Haney. He would have gone after even a George Kambosos. When George Kambosos defeated Teofimo Lopez, he should have just gone for George Kambosos. He would have been fighting, instead of fighting Frank Martin next, he would be fighting Shakur Stevenson, the three-division world champion. Pitbull Cruz and Sobrero Matias could carve their own legacy. The more I'm talking about Pitbull Cruz is because he's the one that's actually in line to face a Gervonta Tan Davis. A fight that I believe that Pitbull Cruz got in his pocket. Because I'm going to say it like this. Win, lose, or draw. Even if Pitbull Cruz loses, I still have it in my mind that the way that he loses is going to keep his stock up. If he loses. Is the reason why his stock didn't drop versus Gervonta Tan Davis, because, like I always say, everything is not about winning and losing, but it's how you win and how you lose. And the way that Pitbull Cruz lost, he lost with a good effort. And the end of the day, boxing fans respect effort. The boxing fans don't like the fighters to cheat themselves out of effort. And the boxing fans identify when you're really going for it, when you're really trying to win. Win, lose, or draw. The boxing fans will always, whether if they're a fan of yours or not, the boxing fans would identify when you actually trying to win the fight and not trying to shortchange yourself, shortchange the fans, cheat yourself from effort. I think the Pitbull crew is going to always have effort. It's the reason why there's people that didn't like the way that Jermell Charlo performed with Canelo Alvarez, right? It wasn't necessary that the issue for a lot of fans, it wasn't that he lost to Canelo Alvarez, it's because how he lost to Canelo Alvarez. Because they felt like the way that he approached that fight was way different. It was way different from the way he approaches his other fights and how he became undisputed. It was just like another Charlo. It wasn't the lines only Charlo. It wasn't the Iron Man. You feel me? I understand how people saw it. And I'm a fan of Jermell Charlo, you feel me? Even though that he was going two division up and was trying to dare to be great and probably figure out, you know what, man, this ain't the same right here, man. He's taking my punches and his punches feel different. But people identify certain different. People identify effort. Subriel Matias, he took his L, but he got his L back when he beat the same guy that beat him. People respect that. People respect that every day. You know, sometimes people may not respect the opponent, but if you feel like there's an opponent that's levels below the fighter that you expect to win, his job is to do what Subriel Matias is doing to his opponents. Cause I've been critical. Like I only been critical with Subriel Matias' resume when they're trying to compare Subriel Matias to the resumes and the accomplishment of TOs and Haney's and stuff like that. Because people be like, "Yo, Subriel Matias will beat TO already. Subriel Matias is better than TO." No. He gotta earn that. You could yeah. Be a fan of Subriel Matias. That's good. I love all the hype. I love all the hype. It just keeps the interest in the sport of boxing. But let's not skip stages. Let's not skip over fighters because we like them more or whatever. Let them accomplish it. Let him beat a TO. That TO already beat Josh Taylor. Let him be great. Let him earn the greatness. Let him earn the achievement. Let him earn the praise. Let him earn that pound for pound list, right? Credible ones as well. But I just don't think that Pitbull Cruz need to chase Javante Tan Davis. I feel, or Subriel Matias right now. I feel like both of these guys right now in the position to bet on themselves, and I think that they're going to get a major support. Subriel Matias is going to be performing in Puerto Rico. That's going to be a great move by Matchroom Boxing. Put him in front of the Puerto Rican fan base to captivate the imagination, the emotions of the Puerto Rican fan base because they're waiting to roar. I think a lot of Puerto Rican fighters, a lot of Puerto Rican people is going to support it. It's going to be at the time, a matter of fact, before the fight, I believe he's going to be fighting in June 15 versus Leon Pyro out there in Puerto Rico. When camp ends, I think that Saturday, I want Subriel Matias to make sure that he comes to New York City to the Puerto Rican Day Parade the weekend before his fight. Be here Saturday, be here Sunday, and then go to Puerto Rico and get ready for media week. Because I think that's going to be highly important for your upcoming fight. As for the people over here in New York City, that has a mass population of Puerto Ricans, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be crossing from New Jersey to New York City to celebrate the Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend. You know what I'm saying? The concerts, I want Subriel Matias to be in the Puerto Rican float out there in the parade in Fifth Avenue, and I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna create that type of buzz, and it's gonna be relevant to that week leading up to the fight in Puerto Rico. So, I just think that because of the fan base as well, as much as it is a Puerto Rican and Mexican rivalry, traditional rivalry. And the momentum of both fighters, hopefully the Subriel Matias does perform very, very well like he's been performing to keep that type of momentum and keep that type of aura leading to a potential fight with Pitbull Cruz. I think they're going to make a lot of money. And I think when they're done with each other, when they're done with each other fighting, right? If they fight one or two times and give us back spectacular performance by both men, win, lose, or draw. I'm telling you, if they fight two times and they give us, I'm talking about monumental, memorable fights. Action pack. If the other fighters don't live to their expectations in their respective, their next respective fights, if Tio next fight doesn't give you that spectacular, that oh my god entertainment type of outing, if Devin Haney has a controversial victory versus Ryan Garcia, but then Pitbull Cruz and Supreme Matias is giving you, and they fighting each other, and they give us like, oh my god, like this legendary rivalry, Morales Barrera, Manny Pacquiao and Marquez and things of that nature. If they give us that, after they're done with each other, they're gonna be the A side, because you put Supreme Matias in Madison Square Garden, you're gonna sell that out with the Puerto Rican fan base. Even Teofimo Lopez is from New York. Y'all already know I support Teofimo Lopez, and I do think that Teofimo Lopez would beat Supreme Matias. I think that the man to beat in the 140-pound division is Teofimo Lopez. But also, Teofimo Lopez is Honduran, and is not the fan base is not as lucrative as the Puerto Rican fan base. Even though that Teofimo Lopez got a lot of Puerto Rican fans out here in New York City, right? And he's from New York. But I think that at this point, what he has accomplished and the performance that he has had, I would have thought that Teofimo Lopez will be selling out arenas. At this point, with his accomplishment versus Vasiliy Lomachenko and Josh Taylor in Madison Square Garden, it should have been in the big room. But the business is saying, Top Rank is saying that he doesn't sell more. He doesn't put a lot of butts in the seats past the big room versus Sandor Martin. They say they came out with the paperwork with the receipt saying that it didn't that he didn't put more than 6,000 people in the seats. So we had to go back to the Hulu Theater. So I don't know why, but I think it's the American fan base as well, because he's more of Americanized Latino. So he's entertaining, but it's not bringing in the type of dollars that I felt it should have brought. Maybe if he fights Devin the Dream Haney after Devin Haney fights Ryan Garcia and create that type of buzz. I think a fight with both of these guys, then I think they'll make so much money, and I think it'll sell out the Garden or sell out any arena in the United States, and it'll sell out great pay-per-view, because like I said in the beginning, it's about the matchup. It's about the matchup. Regis Prograis and Devin Haney pay-per-view numbers wasn't reported good, right? Ryan Garcia didn't have no pay-per-view versus Oscar Duarte Jr. Because so it's all about the matchup. Just like Supreme Matias versus Pitbull Cruz, it's all about the matchup. Hopefully we already heard that that Devin Haney, Eddie Hearn said that Devin Haney may drop the belts, and hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully that doesn't happen for Devin the Dream Haney. Eddie Hearn, the matchroom promoter, said that Devin Haney 100% is gonna drop his WBC strap after the win, if he wins versus Ryan Garcia, because they already paid step aside money to Sandor Martin, in which he's the mandatory challenger to Devin Haney. And I said on my live yesterday on my YouTube channel, and I said, you know, it's unfortunate if he does, but if he does. Then I believe that Teofimo Lopez and Sandor Martin should fight the rematch, because there was people that felt like Teofimo Lopez, that was a controversial victory. In my opinion, it wasn't. In my scorecard, I had a 97-93, but a lot of people felt like it was controversial. There was people that had Sandor Martin beating Teofimo Lopez. He was moving around and stuff like that. Teofimo Lopez is getting this type of reputation in the sport of boxing that he can't cut the ring off, that he's that movers doesn't make him feel comfortable and things of that nature. I think that he should get that get back. And I think he should just challenge himself, right? Challenge himself. For the people that are saying that he can't cut the ring off, I think it'll be a good fight. I think that Sandor Martin just signed a deal with Top Rank. I think it makes sense if Devin Haney does drop the belt. But even if he drops the belt, if he drops the belt because he doesn't want to fight Sandor Martin but fight Teofimo Lopez, then you know what? I'm good with the Teofimo Lopez and Devin Haney fight, even if he loses the belt. You know, if let's say if Sandow Martin is going to get in the way of Teofimo Lopez versus Devin Haney, then I'd rather him drop it and fight Teofimo Lopez if he's there to get the world title and the lineal title. So I'm with that. But if he's just going to drop it and not fight a Tio and just go on and fight Alexis Rocha in 147, then nah, I'm going to be tight. But if he does drop it and there's a Sandow Martin versus Teofimo Lopez, I think that would be a good fight. And of course, the WBC will be on the line, will be a vacant. They'll fight for the vacant title, almost like a unification bout, just like Tim Tszyu versus Sebastian Fundura did this past weekend. Tim Tszyu was the WBO champion, just like Teofimo Lopez is the WBO champion, and they was fighting for the vacant WBC, just like it would be if Devin Haney does vacate the WBC. And you already know that they put Fundura. Fundura was going to be fighting. I forgot the Ukrainian brother's name. They was going to be fighting for that world title. So, but the WBC was vacant. So they put the vacant WBC title on the line. And the WBO strap of Tim Tszyu on the line. So we could see that, you know, in the 140-pound division with Sandow Martin and Teofimo Lopez. I think that's another good idea. If Devin Haney drops the belt, but hopefully he doesn't, because the 140-pound division is one of the most stacked divisions in the sport of boxing. I think it's probably the stacked division in the sport of boxing, more lucrative division and more hype division in the sport of boxing. Even if I know we're talking about Gervonta Tan Davis as well, but even if Gervonta Tan Davis does, if his team has the courage to move him up to 140-pound division, or maybe he could go to 130 and probably fight the likes of, you know, Naoya Inoue. Now, I was talking about that as well this week. You know that there was Leonard Ellerbe, Mayweather Promotion CEO, had a recent interview, and he was saying that hypothetically, if Gervonta Tan Davis were to fight Naoya Inoue, the 4-division world champion, 2-division undisputed, that fight could hypothetically happen in 130, because they believe that Tang Davis is still small, that he can make 130 easy. So I say this, Naoya Inoue has been daring to be great. That's why he's the 4-division world champion. That's why he's my fighter of the year 2023. That's why he's pound for pound number one on my pound for pound list. If I see Naoya Inoue stop Lewis Nettie, in which I think is going to happen, and it's going to be a challenge, because Lewis Nettie, I don't think, never been stopped. But if he does get stopped, and then moves up to the 126-pound division, because right now he's in 122. If he moves up to the 126-pound division and knocks out the likes of Brandon Figueroa or Ramirez, then I would believe that his power will carry until the 130-pound division, and then Gervonta Tan Davis will move down to the 130-pound division like he did with Leo Santa Cruz. Now, I brought up Leo Santa Cruz also because Leo Santa Cruz was also in the division that Naoya Inoue has been campaigning throughout his career. But Leo Santa Cruz, when he moved up, his power didn't transition up. And this is the reason why I feel like if Naoya Inoue's power doesn't transition up, then maybe it won't be smart for Naoya Inoue to fight Gervonta Tan Davis at 130. But if we see him move up to the 126 and knock out elite fighters, then I could believe that his power will carry to the 130-pound division. And I think that Naoya Inoue gets the benefit of the doubt from me because of the things that he has done already, legendary things that he has done in the sport of boxing. You know, I think that he will go up there and give Gervonta Tan Davis probably his biggest challenge of thus far. So I think that would be a good fight if things happen the way that I just explained. I remember that fight with Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta Tan Davis, and I think a lot of people could actually admit that Leo Santa Cruz was actually outboxing Gervonta Tan Davis. And the thing that separated Gervonta Tan Davis and Leo Santa Cruz is the power. You know, we saw even the infamous uppercut that Gervonta Tan Davis landed. We saw that Leo Santa Cruz was landing two straight rights. And Tank was willing to take those punches to he was willing to take it to give it. And I mean, that wasn't smart, because I know if Leo Santa Cruz has some power, I don't think that Gervonta Tendez will be fighting like that. I don't think that Gervonta Tendez would be just tell Ryan Garcia, yeah, let me get two left hooks so I could just land this punch. Nah, he wouldn't even done that with Rolly Romero. He wouldn't have done that with Mario Barrios. He wouldn't do it with Teofimo Lopez. He wouldn't do that. But he knew that Leo Santa Cruz, you know, when he was coming up the division, he wasn't translating into the power wasn't transitioning to the upper division. And once he got to the 130-pound division, it felt like pillows to Gervonta Tendez. But if you look at that fight, it seemed like Leo Santa Cruz was boxing better than Gervonta Tendez, and probably was winning in the scorecards prior to the knockout. Now, I believe that Naoya Inoue could do that and even more, because I do believe that Inoue is faster than Leo Santa Cruz. I think I'm more pop than Leo Santa Cruz. I think the footwork is better than Leo Santa Cruz. I think he's a better IQ fighter than Leo Santa Cruz. I think he's better than Leo Santa Cruz in every category, in my opinion. Now, of course, Leo Santa Cruz got balls of steels, and you know, he got a huge heart. But I think that Naoya Inoue got all of that. Got the total package, and he's fighter of the year in my opinion. Of course, people will be like, fighter of the year, arguably, Inoue and Bud Crawford. But in my opinion, I just feel like Inoue has been more consistent and been more active, and I think that awarding him because of what he's accomplished in the 12 months, and also active in which he does void the frustrations of the boxing fans when, you know, I stated that one of the primary issues in the sport of boxing was inactivity, you know. And now Inoue has voided that frustration, man. He's taken the lead. He's taken the baton and really of this generation and really, you know, leading the way. You know, I know he's 30 years old. He's not that young. I don't consider Inoue's generation or maybe class because he's 30, but and Devin Haney is 25 and these guys are 20, T.O. 26, Ryan 26, Shakur 26. So they like a class behind, you know, in terms of years, not levels. I think all those guys are pound for pound, are on the pound for pound list and doing great things in the sport of boxing. Also, Bam Rodriguez. Shout out to Bam Rodriguez. He's going to be fighting Juan Francisco Estrada. That's a fight that I've been wanting to see Bam Rodriguez get, because especially in the smaller division, there's aren't a lot of names that people are familiar with. There a lot of boxing fans don't really follow the lower division, you know, but I think with this legendary name on the resume of Bam Rodriguez, even though that Leo Santa Cruz is, in my opinion, he's still young. I think he's still in his prime. So I think it's gonna be. I think Juan Francisco Estrada is gonna give Bam Rodriguez a run for his money. But Bam Rodriguez has been stepping up since day one. 22 years old, beat Cuadra, beat Ruvasai. He stepped up, then went back down division, got his world title, 2-division world champion. Came off that win with a broken jaw, and then later in the year fought Sonny Edwards and became a champion. So gotta give a lot of credit to Bam Rodriguez. These are the names that in the sport of boxing today you gotta give a lot of credit of this generation for daring to be great, not saving their O. You gotta give a lot of credit to Tio. Gotta give a lot of credit to Shakur Stevenson, especially in the super featherweight division when he went back to back versus Hearing and Oscar Valdez. You gotta give a lot of credit to Bam Rodriguez. You gotta give a lot of credit even to David Benavidez. But I really did wanted to see David Benavidez fight Otoa Beterbiev when he had the opportunity when they stripped him from his world title. Gotta give a lot of credit to Danny Dubois. Yes, he didn't win these fights with Joe Joyce and he's gonna be fighting Hergovich. He didn't win the fight with Oleksandr Usyk, even though that I feel like he did knock out Usyk with a body shot. In my opinion, he should be the champion. But you got to give credit to all these guys. Devin Haney as well stepped up. And shout out to Bill Haney. Done a wonderful job as a manager, giving us another great fight. You know, gave us Loma, Regis, and Ryan Garcia. You got to give a lot of credit to Devin Haney. His resume is looking very, very well at the age of 25. Just like these other guys, just like Bam, just like Tio. It's the reason why Teofimo Lopez is two-time lineal, because he's beating the guy to be the guy. And 140-pound division, the division that we've been talking about this whole episode, you got to beat the, you got, we got to keep the tradition alive. We got to keep the moral of the sport alive. And by keeping the moral of the sport alive is to acknowledge who's the man. Acknowledge the ring title since 1923, the lineal championship belt. That's the most prestige belt. So whoever beats Teofimo Lopez is the man at 140. That doesn't mean that Teofimo Lopez doesn't have unfinished business to do at 140. It's just saying that he's the top dog, and everybody should be striving to beat the top dog, to be the top dog. But again, I think that Pitbull Cruz and Gervonta Tan Davis can happen anytime, especially the way that Gervonta Tan Davis runs his career. You know, he don't care about legacy. So let's say if Pitbull Cruz loses to Matias, and then he wants to fight the Pitbull Cruz because he want to get that get back, you can get that fight anytime. It's almost like the Sean Porter and Keith Thurman. If Sean Porter was active, they could get that fight anytime, right? They could have got that fight anytime because they had a good fight the first time around. I think that you got to give the opportunity. Just like Subir Matias, I wanted Subir Matias to get the opportunity to captivate the imaginations and the emotions of the Puerto Rican fan base, so he could be a household name, so he could be a lucrative fighter, not only a champion, but a lucrative fighter, in which he has the potential to be the A-side because of the beautiful fan base of the Puerto Rican fan base. Pitbull Cruz have the opportunity to become an A-side. He doesn't have to submit or just put himself in position for a tank fight. He's already been in position for a tank fight. Now it's time for Pitbull Cruz to cater to Pitbull Cruz and let him dictate his greatness, not just dictate to put yourself in position for a Gervonta Tan Davis fight because it's a money fight, and then everybody collects, all the men in suits collect. Nah, I'm sorry, but Pitbull Cruz have the opportunity to become an A-side in one of the most rich times of his division. So give him the opportunity, let him fight Subir Matias, and let's see what happens after that. Imagine if Pitbull Cruz beat Subir Matias. Imagine if he beat the guy that people think that is a killer and could kill anybody in the ring and da-da-da-da. Imagine if he beats him. If he beats Subir Matias, knowing how people like the hype, he'll unify, and how people respect Subir Matias. If Pitbull Cruz beat Matias now, and the momentum that Matias is having, people be saying that Pitbull Cruz is the guy in their opinion. You know what I'm saying? It is what I mean. The fans is just fans have this emotional roller coaster with certain fighters. But when a fighter performs for the fans and it's exciting, it doesn't matter. Like a Manny Pacquiao, it's almost like what Mike Tyson was saying about Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. He was like, Manny Pacquiao was not better. I didn't say he's better than Floyd Mayweather, but he's more sensational. And for the fans do care about sensational. They do care about performance. They do care about that illusion. They do wanna be entertained. They wanna be at all. And Pitbull Cruz and Matias of late has been doing that. So again, Gervonta Tan Davis has been doing that as well. Yet it doesn't go for legacy. Subir Matias versus Pitbull Cruz is a unification bout. It's a legacy fight, money fight, entertaining fight. It's just the perfect time to make that fight. Hopefully, Subir Matias, June 15th, beats Leon Pyro. I think he's gonna stop Leon Pyro, in my opinion. Even though that Leon Pyro has a great reputation in sparring all these guys out there in Cali and Vegas. But hey, Cambosa used to spar with Manny Pacquiao, still lost to Devin Haney. Amir Khan sparred with Bud Crawford, still lost to Kell Brook. Sparring is sparring, right? Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. Sean Porter sparred with Kalen Plant, David Benavidez. Hey, yo, Sean Porter sparred with David Benavidez, Kalen Plant, Kid Austin. Henry Cedeño Martinez. Gervonta Tank Davis leading up to the Bud fight. And Bud still stopped Sean Porter. So, doesn't matter. Let me know what y'all think. Ladies and gentlemen, subscribe to the channel. Punch Drunk Boxing. Subscribe and follow. Follow the podcast on Spotify, Apple Play, all the social media platforms. Follow me on Twitter, Mr. Moonshine 10. On X, formerly Twitter, Punch Drunk Boxing. Follow me on Instagram, punchdrunk_boxing. Follow me on TikTok, Punch Drunk Boxing. Everything Punch Drunk Boxing. Let's go. Y'all already know, man. Y'all want to donate to the channel, donate to the channel. Share this episode. So y'all already know, God first, everything second. 5+ is 5 = true champions. Love y'all. God bless. And on to the next.